Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Annabelle Carmel. She's the author of First Meals Revised and Expanded, especially for the Canadian market. And so your children have all been great eaters, great real food eaters. With so many food fads since the children coming in the 90s, do they kind of go faddish, or the ground things that you've taught them have stayed with them as far as using food and using it well?
I think that toddlers tend to be the most fatty of all eaters, and they do, practically all of them go through a stage of not wanting to eat very much. So sometimes I would find ways of making my own healthy fast food. So I would make my own chicken nuggets, but I would make them out of good quality chicken, and I would coat them with things like crushed Rice Krispies and Parmesan, or I would make homemade ice lollies, and I would take watermelon and berry fruits, and I would like puree them and then put them into an ice pop. And there were ways to get them to eat, but there were a lot of times where, you know, you had to be wily. Sometimes they would freeze to eat vegetables, so I would like blend them into a bolognese sauce, or I would make a vegetable croquette, where like a sweet corn croquette with vegetables in it, so I could get them to eat them. So, you know, sometimes you have to like use your imagination to get kids to eat, and it's very often what it looks like. So if you do something like a fish pie and it's a splodge of fish pie on the plate, they might say no to that. But if you do it in a small ramekin dish and it's kind of a nice like contained small individual dish, they're more likely to eat it. It's the way you present it as well.
Absolutely. So your children are all love color and creativity.
Yes, I mean, they're all very foodie, I would say now. They've grown up with lots of food around them. I mean, I always say that I sleep three children, but I feed at least 10 because all their friends come, because they always know that I'm always cooking and always writing a book or these magazine articles. There's so much food always in my house. It's never just one thing. It's like, do you want this, this, or this?
So it's always life's one big food experiment in your house.
Yes, and sometimes you can't eat it because I got to photograph it first, and they get really annoyed with me.
Don't touch, I need a picture.
It's the whole Instagram thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Everyone's like always taking a picture of their food before they eat it. So I have like 330,000 Instagram followers. So sometimes I post something on my Instagram.
Wow.
And then within a couple of hours, someone's already made it and posted it back to me. And it's just so lovely, and they've said their child enjoys it. And I think that's amazing. I mean, the power of social media is fantastic, and I often just post my new recipes on Instagram just to see the reaction they will get.
Mm-hmm. And you've gone back to baby food and first foods, first meals, and your children are full grown. Can you see a new cycle of feeding little people all the way up again? Or how does your inspiration come for small people now?
Well, because I work all the time with babies and toddlers, and we make ready meals for toddlers, and we make baby food for supermarkets, so I'm always developing meals for those children. But the interesting thing is that we make a range of ready meals, and our most successful and popular ready meal is a chicken curry. Not a spaghetti bolognese, not a cottage pie, not a fish pie, but a chicken curry. It's interesting for one-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. So you're
in sophisticated taste. If we would allow them to try new things, you'd be quite surprised at what they would eat.
Yes, the more flavors, and really, there's so many flavors around the world that children love to have it like a party, like creativity, and try new things.
It kind of makes sense to have a bit of like curry paste, because you can't add salt to a baby's food. So it can be quite bland, but when you use things like garam masala or a little bit of curry paste or a bit of ginger, it gives it more flavor. And, you know, when I started to write my books, everyone said babies only like bland food. So I tried bland food, and then I tried like flavorful food, like a curry or something like that, mild, obviously.
Yeah.
And they didn't like the bland food. They liked the really tasty food. So I don't know where that came from.
Oh. Well, these are... when you're feeding babies, like this is for little people, can you start feeding them in the 6 months to a year, start introducing that? Or did they get curry after a year? How do you do that?
No, I do curry since around 7 months.
Wow.
It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So I introduce like lots of different flavors quite early on. I use herbs, I use spices, and babies love it. And I think it encourages them not to be fussy. And I also think you have this window of opportunity between 6 months and 12 months where they're not bad eaters. But it's because they're growing so rapidly in their first year and they need quite a lot of food to fuel their rapid growth.
Mm-hmm.
But at one, their growth slows down and their life becomes much more interesting and exciting because they can toddle around or bottom shuffle, but they're not just sitting in their high chair. And that's when they sometimes become a little bit more fussy. But if you've got lots of flavors into them and they've tried lots of different things, they're more likely to have a good wide repertoire of foods and not be so fussy. So it's important to introduce lots of flavor early on.
It's important to get that in before they become two and it's no, no, no.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, they can be quite obstinate despite their small size. And mine certainly were.
Do you have a special chapter just for two-year-olds?
Well, it's all divided into ages. So yes, I do.
Oh, okay,
it
great.
It goes from 6, 9, 9 to 12, and then it goes to toddlers. And then a lot of finger food because they like to be quite independent. So, like, for example, I do a chicken quesadilla, but a children's version, which is really tasty, which I still make now for my kids who are grown up. I mean, a lot of these recipes are great recipes for adults, too, so you don't have to just make them for your mm-hmm. child, because you don't want to be making, you know, one meal for each member of the family. So, yeah, I mean, it's great, like, food for everyone when you get to the toddler section. It's, like, some of my favorite meals. I'd like his Chinese noodles with chicken and bean sprouts, which I'd make for a two-year-old, or a salmon teriyaki with noodles. And, you know, kids love that kind of food.
Yeah, they would never settle for less throughout their lives once you start them like that.
Well, I guess that's true. But then you teach them to cook so they can make it for themselves.
Yeah.
And you can hide things. You can do a chocolate beetroot brownie. I mean, I don't like beetroot, but you put chocolate beetroot brownies together, and I do like beetroot.
Mm-hmm.
So sneaking food into other foods is an interesting one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I make carrot and apple muffins, and, you know, any way to get more veggies into your child's food is a good idea.
Annabelle, when you're creating the recipe, do you think about the nutrients you want in first and build it back that way? Or how does your thought process go on building your foods?
I think about like critical nutrients that babies need from 6 months, and there's two that are very important. One is iron. They actually need to have iron-rich foods twice a day, which sounds like a lot, but if you understand nutrition, you can get iron from so many things. Like, you can get it from breakfast cereals. You can get it from eggs, like meat, lentils. But what you need to know, and it's important, is that whereas the iron from a meat source, like red meat or chicken or eggs, is easily absorbed,
mm-hmm.
iron from a plant source is very difficult for anyone to absorb, child or adult, unless you have vitamin C at the same meal. So if you want your child to have iron-rich foods, you need to give them that are not meat-based. You need to give them something like strawberries, kiwi fruit, or some orange juice with that meal so they can absorb the iron. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving them loads of spinach thinking they're getting loads of iron, but they're not.
Wow, that's fascinating. And do you allow the children to have the meat products, the protein-dense meat products?
I do. I mean, unless you're vegetarian, then I think, you know, red meat is a very good food for a child, and to have it from 6 months, because the iron that a baby inherits from their mother
mm-hmm.
starts to run out at 6 months. So you need to be giving them iron in their food. But as long as you're giving them a plant-based source of iron and vitamin C, you should be able to give your child iron as well. So you don't have to give them meat,
mm-hmm.
whatever your preference is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other really critical important nutrient is oily fish, because essential fatty acids are so important for your child's brain and their visual development. They're really important. And the only good source is oily fish, like salmon, sardines, you know, trout. I mean, you need fish. So fish is very important. So I try and find very tasty ways of making fish for babies. And they need that from around 6 months.
Mm-hmm. It really broadens their palate to have such a variety from 6 to 12 months. I don't think I've heard that much. Usually, you know, it's like a little bit of avocado or a little bit of brown rice. So this is really exciting and fascinating to fuel your baby with lots of color, lots of flavor, lots of choices so early.
Yeah, it's really important. And color is important. It's interesting. Like, the more colorful a fruit or vegetable, very often the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pigment contains the antioxidants. That's why blueberries are so good for us, because of the dark blue color. So also, if you have a watermelon, it's better for you than a honeydew melon because it's got that red color. So color is important. So they say eat a rainbow, and it's true. Like, the colorful foods are very good for you. And interestingly, like, adults should have low-fat, high-fiber, but it's completely the opposite for babies. So they actually need more fat in their diet.
Okay.
Which is why avocado and cheese and things like that are good for babies. Mm-hmm. You should do a mixture of white and brown bread, because too much fiber isn't good for a baby because it depletes their body of, like, minerals like iron.
Wow. It's so interesting. It'll be great to see your book, First Meals Revised and Expanded. Is it out in the UK now?
Yes, it's out in the UK. We had a little bit of a problem with this edition because the ship bringing them over, the container fell into the sea. I've never heard of this before. So it's had to be reprinted.
Oh, my gosh.
So it will be in the shop soon, but it's a little bit of a delay. So I think it's coming out in April.
And
so I would have been doing this interview at the time that it was already in the stores, but it's not yet.
And how can us Canadians find your wonderful work?
So you should be in most bookshops or online. It's got great recipes. I also have an app with lots of baby recipes. So if you have on the app store, if you're desperate to feed your baby and you can't find the book, you can use that in the meantime. But it will be in bookstores very soon. And also on my Instagram, you'll find loads and loads of recipes.
Excellent. So, wow. Well, thank you so much for all your creative activity around food. If I ever get grandchildren, I'm heading for that book first. It sounds like so much fun. So thanks, Annabelle, for being on our Health First radio program today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back with our second guest.